The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 589. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? Things change in a week.
Flip-flop. Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
Didn't you just announce a new game last week? How is this possible?
It's crazy. Uh-oh. Crazy times, man. What a difference 2 weeks makes, you know? Remember, just 2 weeks ago, we were kind of coming off the high of the Xbox Showcase at Summer Game Fest, right? We got a lot of good games coming. And overall, the industry was looking like it was finally turning around, right? We've been complaining about how bad things have been. And it's like, hey, you know what? For the first time this generation, things are looking good. Then obviously a few days later, things started to change, right? We talked about it on the Thursday show. Xbox had their financials and they had a 3%. What's the phrase, Carlos? Profitability margin or some shit?
Accountability margin.
Yeah, which is Xbox talk for profit. 3% profit. Now, that was already kind of bad. Oh, that kind of takes the stink, you know, the air out of things. But, you know, we're all right. Then a week after that, the fucking house falls apart. So some of this is confirmed. Some of this is reports. So, you know, take it how you will. But the big news is that some studios are on the chopping block. Among them, Ninja Theory, who literally had a new game announced. Yes. You know, and the other developer is Compulsion Games. They did South of Midnight and Killen. That's another one, the Killen developer. Double Fine as well, right? Yeah, it's not looking good. Again, there has been no official word yet about these studios either, because the reports are saying that either some of these studios are being effectively going to be sold off. But some of them may be closing. It seems like Compulsion Games may be shut down, but Ninja Theory and the other studios, Arcane, that's another one. It's up for sale, apparently. Some fucked up stuff, you know?
Yeah. Some people were saying that Xbox, you know, that Xbox, you know, get together that they had down there was essentially just, you know, a showing for things to be sold.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's one of the things right now. It's like basically because people are like, wait, why would you show a trailer for a game for a studio you know you want to sell off? And apparently they showed that Hellblade trailer to interest a potential buyer. You're like, oh, this is what the studio's working on. Maybe you could take them off our hands. They got this thing cooking.
Remember when, like during the financials, then we saw, like, for some reason, Ninja Theory, released their
numbers. Yes, and you asked about that.
I was like, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
Why are they, you know, you don't usually hear about companies, like, you know, like you don't hear about companies that are owned by other companies when they talking about their own financials.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's part of the larger company. I think that was a prelude to this, because obviously this didn't happen right after Summer Game Fest. This is something that's been going on for a while. So I think that instance, Manny, is that was like, hey, this is how we're doing, guys. You want to buy us? Or potentially, this is how we're doing. So when they're eventually going to be sold off, they could use that as a reference, you know?
Yeah. They literally released their PlayStation numbers. They were like, we, you know, Hellblade did this amount of money on PlayStation.
Yeah, it's insane, yeah. You know. And some of this reporting is coming from our good friend Jason Schreier. Again, you know, you all know how I feel about Jason Schreier. Not a fan of him personally, but he is a good reporter, and he has been doing some really good videos on his YouTube channel. He's not being a provocateur, though.
He's not being a provocateur.
Yeah,
it's different when he sits in front of the camera, right?
Yeah, but he had a whole episode about the downfall of Xbox, and I'm going to quote Carlos on this. It was basically a distillation of everything we on Throwdown have talked about for the past like 10 years, which is hilarious.
The shit that some of y'all were trying to call us out for, saying that we were crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he pretty much verified all that stuff, you know, and he did say that, yeah, the ultimate goal is like, hey, let's move on. And this is something, yeah, I think, yeah, this is a report. I don't know if it came from directly, but basically the goal is to get people away from consoles and to subscription services. Whoa, that's something we've been saying too.
Yeah.
You know?
We said that it was because Microsoft in general has been known for software. What do they want you to move toward? If you don't need a box, all you need is a subscription. And that was that whole initiative, putting Xbox on televisions, Xbox anywhere, right?
Yeah, TV, sports, yeah. I want to read, I'm going to read choice cuts of this IGN report here. Because what is today's date? It is 18th, right? Yeah, okay. So Microsoft is believed to be timing the layoffs with the end of its financial year on June 30th, with talks ongoing among studio bosses over which companies could be sold off, spun out, and kept openly independent, even if this still results in numerous job losses. IGN has asked Microsoft for comment, but they have yet to respond. So this makes sense why this is happening now. The financial year is going to come to an end on June 30th. So, you know, this is a good way to boost sales. You know, you get rid of some fucking studios, you know, or boost revenue, I should say.
It's that same old up and down thing that happens in tech, right? You do is, you know, to look mindful, we're at the top. So they're like, okay, to look like they're being mindful of their costs, they're releasing a bunch of people, closing down studios, bring up their revenue is.
You know, yeah,
it's the usual bullshit.
So this would, Jason Schreier said, the word bloodbath has been thrown around among people I talk to who know what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. He also went on to say that the Xbox of the beginning of June will be different than the Xbox at the end of July. So it's going to get brutal, you know, and it's crazy because, again, we're coming off an Xbox high. Like a lot, I think the majority of guys on this panel said they liked the Xbox showcase the most out of everything that was shown. But look how things are now.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. Yeah, I guess I'm cursed.
But you're not alone. I think I may have been one of the outliers who preferred just the main Summer Game Fest thing. But the Xbox One was good. That's definitely second place for me, you know. And then obviously this all tied back into, again, this is something else that we've said. But we did say it after the fact. We didn't say it while it was happening. You know, the whole Activision Blizzard buyout. At the time it was happening, we were just like, just get it over with, right? We didn't see all the, like, how bad that was actually be. Because the instant they spent that kind of money, then the higher-ups, Mr. Satya Nadella, was like, hey, what the fuck are you guys doing? Because before that, and just some of the reports said, Xbox was largely left to its own devices. You guys do you. You know, because Microsoft didn't care. You know, they were making their money regardless, you know. But if they're spending $69 billion of daddy's money, yeah, you're going to have to answer, you know. So it's just interesting how, and then obviously Xbox, just like the rest of the game industry, except for the Japanese game industry, decided let's expand because all this money we suddenly have during COVID. Yep. And this is still a ramification of that, you know.
Yep, that's all of that sort of stuff. All of those initiatives that all came from the fucking pandemic. having your captive audience, right? Thinking that once everything goes back to normal, everything is going to be even better than it was last time, at least the expectations. And then you started seeing it going all the way back to 2022. You started to see the decompression, right? In other words, they started, what was it, 2022? They closed a bunch of studios, right?
Yeah.
Back then. And then it keeps on happening. So it's like they probably should, you know, if they probably would be better in better standing if they didn't go on a buying spree during that time.
Yeah, because you're right. They're like, look how much money we got. Let's go fucking nuts. You know,
same thing with Sony. Same thing with PlayStation.
Oh, we're going to talk about Destiny tonight because it ain't just Microsoft, you know. I'm going to read this other quote from Mr. Jason Schreier. That's when we see things start to get really bad. We see 4 mass layoffs in 2 years. Many of you just mentioned those. The closures of studios under the Xbox umbrella, like Arcane Austin, Tango Gameworks, which wound up going to Krafton, which saved that studio, and the cancellation of projects like Everwild, Perfect Dark, and Project Blackbird. I don't even remember that last one. And obviously, you know, he talks about the infighting that was going on, and we heard about some of that because, yo, they threw Sarah Bond under the bus as soon as she was gone. So something was going on with her there, you know. I want to read this other quote. The last couple of years at Xbox have been quite messy. People start openly questioning. This is interesting. I had to read this from the start. The last couple of years at Xbox have been quite messy. People start openly questioning Game Pass and saying it's cannibalizing sales. What else have we been saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course it's cannibalizing sales. If you know, everybody's saying, oh yeah, you put those things down on day one. No, you don't put those things on day one because you want people to buy it.
Yeah. I'm going to read this one thing and then I got to jump in with something else. I don't know if it's part of this report. What might be good for the Game Pass folks may not be so good for the studios and revenue brought in for individual games. Now,
we said that too.
We've been saying this shit. I'm telling you, man. Now, again, this might pop up later, but I want to say now, one of the really fucked up things that I saw was basically the studio that made Compulsion Games, right? When they came under the Xbox umbrella, apparently they were like, use as much money as you need. Your success is not based on sales. You know, we're not worried about that. You know, do your thing. And apparently reports are saying that South of Midnight cost $100 million. So when they got brought in, they were told, don't worry about money. You're under Game Pass. Do what you got to do. Just deliver us a great game. Do what you do, right? And the game won awards and shit. Then things started shifting. Obviously, Microsoft came down and they're like, no, Xbox, you need to be profitable. Now, suddenly, your Compulsion Games, you were told, don't worry about the money. And then suddenly, you're like, bring in that fucking money. And that's apparently what happened to a lot of these studios. They were brought in saying, don't worry about how much you sell because you don't need to sell anything. You're on Game Pass. And then the mandate changed. So you got to kind of feel bad for those studios, man. Like, you know, like I've often said. Yeah, go ahead, Manny. Go ahead.
To me, I wouldn't have taken that bait.
Yeah.
Like that shit does not exist. There's no such thing as that. We're going to be mindful about this budget.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I've used this term before. You know, dealing with Xbox is like it's a Faustian deal. Deal with the devil, you know. It's not going to end up well for you, you know. It's going to bite you in the ass.
And we had a bunch of pushback, you know, from people saying, oh, hey, you know, this thing is getting good engagement. Engagement isn't fucking money.
Yeah.
It's not fucking money. Like, again, specifically buying something, unless you, the only way Xbox Game Pass even fucking works is if they're the only game in town. Like,
yeah.
In other words, like the way Netflix was at one point, where they were the only, essentially the only six, streaming servers. But even they are bleeding money. And that's why they got to raise their prices. So this whole idea doesn't work. And the only reason why they didn't pull up, I feel like a lot of these companies don't pull out of this shit, is because Pandora's box is open. The expectation is that it's going to be on streaming or on a service.
Yeah. Now, see, here's exactly what I was talking about. While Kiln and South of Midnight may not have been big money spinners, development studios such as Double Fine and Compulsion were simply doing what they had been told 5 years ago when they were acquired and their projects were greenlit, namely that they were to make games that fill out Game Pass and slowly keep growing the subscriber base, and that would be enough, right? But then, obviously, years later, it's like, no, you gotta sell games, you know. But you know, maybe I'm crazy, right? Maybe I'm insane, because I'm like, how are you supposed to sell games if people could get them for free? the whole Game Pass model. Here's the thing: if you are a gamer, yes, it works, right? You pay your $15 a month, whatever the fuck it is, and you get your games. You're a developer, and we've literally had an episode named this shit. It's the best deal in gaming, unless you're a game developer. So what the fuck do you get? You know, and we've had many reports come out of studios saying how much they got fucked over because of Game Pass, you know?
Cuphead Studio, the guys who did... Yep. What was it? Ori?
Yep.
They talked about it.
So all this shit is coming to roost right now, bro. You know?
I'm gonna say it with your chest. I'm gonna say this. It's like, again, it all depends on who's saying the shit. We've been saying this shit for years. The fucking Jason Schreier literally says it, and then now all of a sudden it's fucking gospel.
Yeah.
Now people believe this shit. Now people are saying, that makes sense. It made fucking sense then.
We've been saying this for 10 fucking years, Ben.
Yes.
We've been saying all this shit for 10 fucking years, bro. It's crazy. Go ahead, Carlos.
The only way engagement actually is worth a damn is if you have ads running, you know, have like sort of YouTube, Google AdSense stuff, or if, you know, if the subscriptions are increasing. But we saw that subscriptions pretty much plateaued.
They plateaued, yes.
They weren't going up, you know, as much as, you know, they wanted to. So they had to pivot. So that's why they went third party. And then they were like, okay, so I guess Xbox is a third party studio now, because they have to make money everywhere. PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, PC, everywhere, you know. But then they busted out this whole, we're being cheeky, wink, wink, logo gate. Gears of War E-Day is exclusive, and we're going to beat that out of our chest, you know. We're, you know, fanboys, do you hear us? And it's like, what the hell is your, you know, your strategy? You don't have one. It's reactionary.
No, you're 100% right about that. I want to read this one part again. This is crazy. This is something we actually have not talked about, but it's a good point, because remember, we've discussed, why is it that Xbox cannot seem to make a game that really resonates with people, right? I'm not saying this is the only reason, but it's something I hadn't considered, and it's a good point. Jason Schreier said, and one of the reasons Xbox studios have struggled to make great games over the past decade is the uncertainty that developers are feeling. It's really hard to make great art when working under the fear of layoffs and turbulence and cancellations and shutdowns. He's not wrong, man. You know? Go ahead,
as a creative person, if you're on the wire, if the bills are, you know, coming, and there's no, you know, none of that thing, it can be difficult to essentially try to be able to do the work. And then again, like, what do you do with, like, I know people like to say this thing, oh, just make a good game. That's a fucking hard one, man.
It's hard. Yeah.
Like, Even if you attempt to hit all, and you know, like we see with what happened with PlayStation, even though they try to hit all those bases, and they're still not getting it.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
It's also hard to work around those parameters that Manny just stated, considering the fact that even the simplest games cost so much to make.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, South of Midnight that cost over $100 million, it's like, well, is there any way to make this? Was it possible to make this game?
I think they could have made that game. And that was the whole, that used to be the whole deal behind what Ninja Theory was, right? They were, the idea, their idea was essentially make a AAA, a AAA looking title for like a middle A or indie budget, you know?
Yeah. Shout out to Chris who just joined us. We're going over all the crazy. Chris, go ahead.
Chris, essentially what Jason Schreier did on his podcast or his YouTube is essentially said what we were right and what we've been saying for the last 10 years.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know if you watched the Jason Schreier video or seen, I know you've seen some of the craziness with Xbox, but basically just talking about how, you know, the thing we were just talking about is how when Compulsion Games is brought on board, they were told, don't worry about being profitable or selling copies. Just make your games. We're good. And then that got changed under them, you know? And then people obviously within Xbox are now openly questioning whether a Game Pass is a good thing or if it's just siphoning sales, which it is, you know? Go ahead. So, what are your thoughts on this whole thing? You know, that and then everything else you've seen this week.
Yeah, I mean, with the problem is the premise that they had before with, I mean, what, you know, the Bond and Phil Spencer and all these guys were telling them, like, don't worry about profit, don't just worry about awards and what, feelings? Like, that is not how you make money. Like, that's ridiculous. And then, yes, of course it changed under them because you had a change of the guard. You have pressure from the top going, hey, every quarter you're losing money. Every single quarter, there's just this disappointment coming out of this segment. What are you doing? And then finally, that gets upheaved. You know, the Charminator comes in, and then she has access to all the books, everybody's records, everybody's overhead, all that stuff, and it's not making mathematical sense. And she has to make this thing profitable. I don't know what kind of pressure Nadella's putting on them to salvage Xbox, right? It's probably a lot. So you have that, and then what does she have to do? You got to cut the things that aren't working. What's the last thing Arkane made? Redfall? How'd that do?
Yeah.
You know, pulsing it, We Happy Few bombed, South of Midnight bombed. You know, but a Marathon, well, forget, that's Sony. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. But
we'll talk about Marathon in a bit.
But 343 hasn't been hitting any home runs either, considering they were the dream team, right? Yep. To replace Bungie and handle Halo. You know, Fable's been kicked so far down the road, people forgot it existed until they reminded them at the showcase. And even still, that still looks like butts. I'm not touching that game. And yeah, and like you said, you know, it's the Tony was right. Game Pass, nobody has an incentive to buy anything. If you could just pay a fee every month and get $60, $70 games, day one Game Pass, they would get. So who's going to buy it? Who's going to buy anything?
Yeah. It's completely insane.
Undermines your developers. It undermines third parties. It just undermines everything. So, yeah, that's a lot to clean up. And the first thing they have to do is clean house is you got to cut heads. And that's it's looking bad because it's a lot of heads getting cut. And there's probably more. We've just seen the beginning.
So, Chris, I think your initial impression of her was right.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know.
Oh. Chris, you remember when you said, like, I think she's just going to come in and start chopping heads. She didn't do it right away.
She didn't. Like, I had said I thought she was unqualified and that the knee-jerk reaction is going to be, you have to sunset Xbox, and the first thing I said was going to happen was layoffs, mass layoffs, shuttering doors. The first thing, you lower the headcount, and then you start cutting projects. Like, I think I predicted Project Helix wouldn't make it past this year. You know, so I mean, you know, I didn't want to read this out like a prophecy, like, oh, my prophecy is coming true, you know, or anything like that. If Project Helix gets canceled, then I'll be like, shit passed me. That was, you read the tea leaves pretty well.
Yeah.
So I'll put myself on the back then. But there's still, you know, there's deep-seated problems that were fostered by Sarah Bond, by Phil Spencer, by Aaron Greenberg, who's somehow kept his job. He's still there. And, you know, this, you have to clean it up. But What is in the pipeline for you to turn the brand around, right? Things were looking up, people were positive, going into the showcase, and now everything is kind of thrown out the window. Oh, we're going to launch Senua. Well, fuck these guys, you're all fired. Look at Doom the Dark Ages. Hey, id Software has gone dark.
Oh, shit. We've
never heard about that. Yeah, their job board's gone. So that's
damn,
not good.
Damn, man, I didn't know that. But and then, Chris, apparently the reason they showed the Senua trailer is because they want the company to look kind of good to whoever they want to sell it to. Like, hey, this is what they're cooking. And then, and Manny brought this up. Remember how Manny said, why is Ninja Theory posting their own financials? They belong to Xbox. Now we know why.
Yeah, they were all trying to get bought. They were trying to get bought out. And, so...
That's not me updating my resume. Like, what the fuck are you doing that for?
Yeah. This is one of those times I kind of wish I wasn't right. where I was like, oh, it looks like hope. Maybe I was wrong. And I'm glad to. Oh, wait. No, I'm not. I guess maybe not. I don't know. I'm like, I'm in a glass case of emotion.
It's crazy, man. And apparently, Chris, we're going to need you for this one because the financial year ends June 30th. And Jason Schreier saying it's going to be a bloodbath. So we definitely need your analysis when that happens.
Sure. Yeah. I will definitely look at that Xbox financial.
Shit. You know, Rich, get in here, man. What are your thoughts on, you know, this insanity happening with Xbox right now?
Well, first and foremost, this has been a phenomenal conversation to hear all of these comments, the back and forth. Very entertaining. So I will try to add some entertainment as well. First and foremost, now we know what the X and Xbox stands for. It is, I would say, extremely delusional and extremely incompetent because all the decisions that they have made. And like you guys said, yes, the throwdown correctly has talked about all this stuff. All the stuff with Game Pass, yes, we can conclude that Game Pass, obviously not profitable to the point where, like, giving somebody an option, basically a new game comes out. Do I want to spend $70 or do I want to pay $5 or whatever to just play it on Game Pass? That was a very, very bad decision. And the other thing that Jason Schreier did mention in his video, which is another good point, is about the whole fact that, remember that a while back when Xbox decided, well, yes, let's also bring our games to PC, day and date. You see that Sony has already said now they don't want to bring their first-party titles to PC. They want you to buy a PlayStation 5 to play Wolverine.
Yeah.
So that is that. Now, we will see long-term how that goes, but I do think, yes, if you have an option to play on PC, why do I need to buy an Xbox? That's another valid reason why you will question why you need to buy an Xbox. But I would say, like I said, of all the stuff that I heard about all the cuts and stuff, the most ridiculous thing is the Senua story, because clearly I have never seen that done before in the industry. I've never heard of somebody, they already know they're going to cut the studio. But then they decide, okay, our Xbox showcase, we're going to show this game. And by the way, they had a 2027 release window on this game. You said it's coming to PlayStation, all this other stuff. And then you're basically saying, yes, this is for somebody to invest in. Hey, investors, are you interested in this game? And the thing is that from what I understand, some of the people at, you know, that worked on this game, they did not know that this was going to happen. At least not early. Like, they got this word right after this was shown. Some of them found out, we are going to get cut. But Xbox, internally, they knew. They knew definitely. So, very, very slimy behavior, I would say. But I will say this. Like you said, Tony, there is nothing that is confirmed yet because some of the studios are basically trying to basically get their independence back and spin off into their own thing. That actually is what happened with Toys for Bob. So the Spyro game is totally safe. That's totally safe because they're their own thing. They're not fully integrated with Microsoft like that because they came to some agreement. So that's great because that game, I think that's going to do pretty well regardless of, you know, it's going to be on every platform, so on and so forth. But the others, the The hope is that the others will go ahead.
So they've been able to spin themselves off, or they weren't like fully in. But the thing about it is that they still are the Spyro IP is still owned by Microsoft. They didn't buy that.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. You are correct.
Just a side note, sorry.
No, you're 100% correct. So we'll see what happens with that. But the hope is that these other studios will be able to do something similar. Obviously, with Double Fine, Tony did mention that game, Clen, I think it, what is it, Kill or Clen?
Yeah, Killin, whatever. It's a Double Fine game.
Yeah, Killin. Yeah, Killin. I'm disappointed, Tony, because I thought you said that you wanted to play that game.
Game of the year.
We don't have time. And I will mention,
is that the Walking Lighthouse one?
I think so. Maybe.
No, it's not. No, that's the Keeper.
Okay. Let's look this up. Killing the Keeper. That's what this game is called. Wait, no, Killing is, and the Keeper are two separate games? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, those are two separate games.
Okay, so Killing and Keeper two. Okay, gotcha.
The Keeper game came out last year in the fall time when there was a whole bunch of other games out, so nobody really checked out the game to that extensively. And as for this other game that you mentioned, I actually saw this game at GDC. They had an event that I went to, our very good friend, Austin. You know, I went to an event, and of course, Double Fine was there. You know, Tim Schafer was there, so on and so forth. But at GDC, they actually were playing, they had a room where they were playing this game. And I looked in the room, I said, yeah, it's just people, not too many people in this room playing this game. So I already knew at that point. I don't know, because I think they had announced when the game was coming out at that point. But it's just like, but yeah, like you guys said, they were given with Phil Spencer regime, given this idea. No, don't worry about how much money we're spending. Just make the game you want to make and do whatever you want to do. And obviously, you're not going to make money that way. So this is all bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna get to you, Brian, next, but I want to just address something that Reggie's saying. I think we're seeing an instance of time travel. I think Reggie's tweeting posting from the future. He's laying down a bunch of comments about Bungie, but we haven't gotten to that segment yet. So I think he's from the future, posting it back in time. He's writing these long things on the post. Like, Reggie, come back to our time, right? To the fucking, 11:10. And then we could talk about, you're tweeting from the future, bro. We're not at that part of the show yet.
Is it a premeditated trait, or is it?
It might be a premeditated. Yeah, he has like two long posts about Destiny. Maybe he's reacting to things we have already said about Destiny, you know, that we will say in about 10 minutes. Oh, man. But anyway, Brian, what are your thoughts on this whole Xbox debacle, bro?
It's fascinating, because I think I've been the one that has to slightly push back against everyone's opinion here, where I sort of half agree with what they've said regarding that developers shouldn't have to worry about how much sales the games make, i.e. they should not be developing the games in order to maximize the sales, because realistically, if you're doing that, then you end up with games like Concord. Because I don't care what anyone says, that game was not designed to be fun to play. The game was designed to sell. And that's what you end up getting. You end up aiming for games that, again, appease really no one because they're trying to maximize their reach. And these are the type of games that, for the most part, we all don't like. Hence why I can say I half agree with that sentiment that, developers should just focus on making a good game.
I think the thing about it is that, and this is just the way I sort of think. There's no such thing as a blank check. There is no matter what somebody says, no matter any of this sort of stuff, there is no such thing as a blank check. And if they knew better, they should have said, no, I don't believe any of this bullshit. We're going to make this game for what we usually make these types of games for. You know, because the thing about it is the way I remember, what was it? Like working in animation, right? And when they would always say to us, oh, yeah, we need to, this thing will cost too much and this thing will cost too much. But then come to find out that the producers at our studio, and this happens in animation and film, if they come under budget, the producers get a portion of whatever that money was that they were going to spend on the budget. So to me, that's a it's a bunch of bullshit that they're like that they're saying, oh yeah, we're just going to give you a blank check. No, don't just pretend that that doesn't even exist. This is your budget, and this is what you're sticking to.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, that's also the other point as well. There really should have been lots of restrictions. Like you can't give developers basically just blank time and say, okay, make whatever you want. Again, at least have some level of oversight saying, okay, let's at least have different divisions aiming for different types of audiences. So maybe you can say, okay, these guys can make like a first-person shooter. These guys can make a third-person action game. These guys can make a racing game. So that type of stuff. But yeah, again, it's always sad when you hear studios being closed down. But I'm getting to a point now where I honestly expect nothing less at this point. I mean, how many times have you heard, oh, this large company is buying this studio, and then 5 years later, studio doesn't exist? I mean, you take my beloved SOCOM, that's exactly what happened. Like, they were making games for a while, got bought by Sony, made slightly less better games than normal, then shut down, and that's the end of that. Zipper's gone, never to be heard of again. So this is, again, we literally had EA do this in like the mid-2000s, and that's why they are so hated. Well, sorry, that's one of the reasons why they're so hated. So I guess this was one of the things that we all knew was going to happen at some point. And again, we've been seeing it with Sony recently, so I guess it's Microsoft's turn. So yeah, it's an annoying time to be, but at the same time, I think this is what needs to happen in order for the industry to be healthy, is that a lot of studios should start to realize that being bought out by Microsoft, Sony, EA, Ubisoft, I can't say Activision anymore, they don't exist. being bought out by these large studios isn't the be-all and end-all. It's probably the first step to death.
I think the other thing, the reason why a lot of these studios were independent studios, when you look at the times that they got bought, it was also during the pandemic when things were all up in the air. You know, as an independent studio, where you're essentially told that you need to close down your studio, you have to go be remote, you have to do all this additional investment in order to keep your place alive. And I feel like that, I think a lot of if you look at the names that got gobbled up by the big studios, you can see, I think they were also probably in a questionable, they didn't know what their future would be like. So they just said, well, you know, PlayStation or Xbox is offering up to pick us up. Okay, that'll keep us around. And you see it like all over the place. Like I think Camouflage Games, Ready at Dawn, the guys who did Armature. You know, all people that worked on PSP and, you know, PlayStation titles all got gobbled up by Meta during the time when they were really investing into VR. All of the things that we're seeing right now, all those little tiny companies that all got gobbled up by the big companies like Facebook, PlayStation and Xbox, they're all getting all closed off.
Yeah. This kind of tying into what you said, Woodpit on YouTube says, some of them would be dead if they weren't bought, though. But I'm like, you're not wrong, but they just delayed the inevitable.
We don't know what they were. I think they made the decision because they didn't know what the future would be like. Again, like I can, as much as an acquisition's like, you know, in the long run sucks, right? I can see at that point, being the only option when it comes to whatever their future was. And I think that's why a lot of these guys decided, okay, we're just gonna, you know, well, we've been connected to these guys, so might as well just let it go and just join up, you know, because at least we have a little bit of something to keep us around. So I don't know if it was delaying the inevitable or whatever, but I can understand why you would make the decision to join up with a bigger company.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to say about this Xbox insanity?
I do hope that at least some of these companies can, you know, figure out how to get them to pull themselves away from Xbox.
Yeah.
Again, you know, like I feel like there's got to be a better way than just shutting down a studio. Like, if a place like Ninja Theory has already got, what is they have like 80 people over there at that studio. Like, you can't tell me that you can't pop that one out onto its own, or essentially, you know, maybe whoever the former heads of Ninja Theory are can't essentially acquire back their company again. I almost felt like these guys should have had a clause in their contract that said, if it doesn't work out, you get to sell this shit back.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's something future studios will do after seeing all this shit. You know, they're like, oh, you know, let's put this in our clause just in case.
The take backseat clause.
Yeah, right. Oh, man.
By the way, Manny said that there's got to be something, you know.
Got to have something.
Microsoft.
I didn't say like Adam, though. So
no, but he. And to be more specific, he said there's got to be a better way to handle these things besides just laying off everyone.
It could be boiled down to got to have something. Remember, I'm doing the other with great power comes great responsibility. You know, the one that was done by Martin Sheen, where he didn't say it, but he didn't say it.
Peter.
He tried. He was resisting. His acting was resisting to say that. But what I was going to say is, you know, a better way to handle it is by only cutting half the studio. Tony, you're up.
Man, segue kings. Reggie, here you go, man. We're going to talk about it. Bungie, son. This is coming from. This is, of course, the page crashes. Insider Gaming, I'm blaming this shit on Henderson. Try that again. God damn, yo. And my everything went ham right now. Oh, it's because of their stupid ad blocker. I'll go to another website. But yes, as Carlos said, Bungie is apparently going to lose half of their employees. So they're going to be down to 400 from 800. Which is fucking insane. That's
still a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, you know. Again, let me try to pull up the story, but I'm going to say this, man. I think it's very clear now that buying Bungie, especially for that kind of money, was a fucking mistake. You know, like even, you know, what their value went down, you know, the value of the fucking company, they paid like 3. Whatever billion for it. Now that shit got devalued, you know,
man, people talking about inflation.
Yeah,
ain't real. Look at Bungie.
Exactly. They went down, bro. So it's like you buy this. Hold on. There's so many levels to this. So you buy a company that's already, let's just be honest here, on the downward trajectory, right? Yes, there was a time, and again, I hate to say this, shout out to Jason Schreier. He did a great video on the history of Destiny, right? There was a point where Destiny was the shit, you know? Listen, with the exception of Manny, we were all on that motherfucking crack on Throwdown, you know? As a matter of fact, Manny, I used to play with Kari all the time, you know? Like, that game. It was fucking crack, right?
That was his game. In fact, he actually recently said to me, he's like, yo, you know, I'm finally playing Stellar Blade and all these other games because Destiny's closing down.
See?
That was his shit.
Yeah.
He loved that game.
Yeah, and that's the point I want to make. If Sony were to have bought Bungie back when Destiny was the shit, Thomas, you know, Destiny 1 makes sense. But like you just said, it's been on a downward trend. So you buy a company that's on a downward trend in order for them to kind of lead the charge or at least provide support to bolster your live service initiative, which ultimately failed. Right. So I see no benefit that Sony has gained from buying Bungie. And as we're seeing now, obviously the company is struggling because they're cutting off half their fucking staff, you know? Go ahead, bro.
I think I've said this before years ago during the production of Destiny. There was all kinds of talk about their company not knowing what the hell they were doing. That game cost them like $1 billion or something.
It cost them $500 million.
$500 million to make the original Destiny. And then you're like, okay, so then what the hell happened? Like, why are they just burning through cash on this game when the outcome doesn't even look like a billion dollars?
Yeah.
For them, for them back then, they Bungie was still the studio. Mm-hmm. The last game they made was Halo Reach. So, mm-hmm. and Halo Reach is the last good Halo game to come out. So there was still a lot of prestige. And then remember, EA, was it EA or Activision? I always confuse them with Bungie. One of those studios.
Activision.
Activision invested in Bungie and they did a little partnership. So they got all the money for Destiny when that came, and that's how it was all bloated. And the advertisement budget was a lot as well.
Yeah, because remember, it was $250 million for the game, then another $250 million for the advertising for Destiny 1. It's been a lot of fun. And it's funny because now it's GTA 6 is like, segue for later, by the way. It's like, hold my motherfucking beer. That ain't nothing, you know? So let me read this real quick. This is from the Game Post. I'm not familiar with this website. Bungie could reportedly face major layoffs this summer, with new claims saying that at least 50% of its workforce may be affected. Bungie has already had a rough few weeks. Destiny 2 recently received its final live service update called Monument of Triumph, bringing years of active development to a close. That said, the game is not shutting down, but Bungie has made it clear this is the end of the planned live service content updates for Destiny 2. It's over, right? The final update was not small either. It was a massive send-off for the game, packed with sandbox challenges, rewards, blah, 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 blah. The update also brings a big jump in player numbers on Steam. Oh, that's good. Showing that Destiny still has a loyal audience when Bungie gives players a reason to come back. But behind that player spike, the bigger picture has not looked good. Bloomberg previously reported that Bungie was planning significant layoffs after the final Destiny 2 update, with no Destiny 3 in current active development and no new project in green light for the team. Now we have another report that, about the layoffs. That's something Jason Schreier said too. For the first time in 12 years, there was no new Destiny content at all in the works. It's all just stopped, right? And, you know, we know how long it takes games to start being developed. So let's just say they start producing Destiny 3 today. You're not seeing that fucking game for another 6 years because there's nothing in development, nothing at all, you know? Anyway, let me go on to read this last part. This latest claim says that, so this is why you want to take it with a grain of salt, you know, because it's coming from an unverified source, some French journalist. No shade on the French, even though there should be shade because they're French, but still. So that's where this is coming from. According to him, he has heard that at least 50% of Bungie's workforce could be affected, including both permanent employees and contractors. Oh, boy. Here's a translation of the you know, what he said. So take it with a little bit of grain of salt because, you know, it's AI, you know. And if that wasn't enough, Bungie is expected to face massive layoffs this summer. I'm being cautious with this, but I'm being told that at least 50% of the workforce has been affected. We said all that already. But yeah, not looking good. I believe it. Again, just still just a quote-unquote rumor right now, but I see this happening because Destiny's just on a fucking climb. And, you know, we got to bring up the other elephant in the room. You know, we're going to sprint to this one. You know, I know that's a lazy fucking horrible transition. Marathon, you know, I know we just launched season 2, but let's just be honest. You know, Bungie's that happy with those numbers that game is pulling in, you know. So you have a game mm-hmm. that's on the decline and one that's struggling to even get an audience. And it ain't looking good. I'm not saying Bungie's going to get closed down or anything, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, let me just say this real quick. And this comment is directed to our very good friend, Reggie. And Tony, you took a little bit of my momentum, but I'm going to say it anyway. For Reggie, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So you need to go out and support this game. As you are a Bungie fanboy, I want to see you talking about this game in the chat, everything. So, yeah. But this is the comment that I was going to make.
And before that comment you made about the sprint marathon, infinitely better than the bullshit I tried to say. So thank you for doing that. You salvaged it.
Oh, no.
I was trying to be cool about it. I fucked it up, but you saved the joke. So let's go. That's why we got Rich on the show, people. You know? All right, go ahead, bro.
Oh, no. It's all good. So as for the 50% layoffs, we will see what's happening with that. The comment that I wanted to make, however, is, and obviously I'm sure that you guys have noticed this trend with Microsoft. They said July, right? That's when the layoffs are going to start. With Bungie, they said July, right? This is the start of the third quarter of the year, fiscal quarter. So I don't know what that's about, but clearly they understand that obviously they want to get ready for the fourth quarter. These companies, obviously, with all the stuff they're going to ship out, I think they want to have a good fourth quarter. So now that we're in the summertime, the slow period, this is, I guess, they decide, okay, we need to, you know, get rid of some people. I don't know, though, but I will say this. I'm not surprised with what happened with Destiny. It is unfortunate because it feels to me like you guys made the comment earlier about Xbox and the fact that Phil was just telling people, make whatever you want to make. It feels to me like in the case of Bungie, Sony wasn't really monitoring what they were doing. They're just saying, hey, we know you guys, what you're capable of. We're just going to let you cook. And then that's it. And then as we saw when they were supporting Destiny 2, the updates kept getting further and further apart. They didn't really have a plan as to what they wanted to do. And they obviously wasn't working on Destiny 3. So this is when, of course, Sony decided they wanted to do this whole live service thing. And that's when they just said, okay, Bungie, we're going to have you focus on this now. But it just feels like, yeah, they definitely should have been working on a Destiny 3. I would have preferred a Destiny 3 instead of a marathon because it feels like a lot of people were waiting for the next Destiny, and they just said, no, we're not going to go in that direction. So it's very unfortunate, but it is what it is.
I think also the other thing about Marathon is, like, they didn't even do a Marathon game in the vein of a Marathon game. That game was something on the level of, like, a BioShock back in its day.
Yeah, but they wanted to turn it into an extraction shooter.
They turned it into an extraction shooter. Granted, it does have a lot of the rollover plot from whatever the last games were, but I think it's like the best thing they could have done was just essentially try to reinvent, you know, try to reintroduce people to what Marathon is. You literally threw all of this stuff into like a hodgepodge sequel when they could have literally just redefined what Marathon is again. Prove, you know, come in and do a game that actually, you know, a single person narratives type of title.
They weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's not what their business model is anymore.
That's not what their business model is again. But to be honest, they should have known that this was going to happen. People weren't going to just jump on board this new thing.
I think that's the problem. I think they probably thought, oh, people love Destiny, they'll love this
people
too.
Destiny. Well, I mean, the thing is that they could have looked at their own numbers and be like, well, we have diminishing returns on Destiny, so why don't we try to do something? Something a little smaller.
You know, but here's the thing, Manny, you're not wrong, but what if those numbers weren't diminishing when this game started developing, you know?
Well, again, like the 5-year game, you know, cycle.
It was longer than that for this game.
For this game, when did they start this one?
It was like closer to 6-7 years ago.
So 2019?
So yeah, Destiny was still pretty good back then.
So they started working on Marathon in 2019?
Probably 2020, but yeah. Remember, 2026.
Okay, yeah. So the five-year game cycle. Okay.
Yeah, but remember, Destiny was still hot stuff, you know? And then you know how it is with these groups. Once the boat gets moving, it's very hard to stop it, you know? By the way, I think I kind of lucked out with this website I stumbled on, because they actually do some, you know, admittedly, they do some napkin math, but still pretty interesting regardless, because this isn't the first time there's been Bungie layoffs. Check this out. Before 2023 layoffs, Bungie had 1,600 employees. after October 2023 layoffs, there were 1,350 employees. July 2024 layoffs, 220 were laid off, with 150 roles moved to Sony. After July 2024 restructuring, over 850 members remained. So they had already lost almost half their guys by 2024. Then again, in the summer, and then we're going to get 50% of that. So if the numbers add up, there's going to be 425 people at the company. 3 years ago, it was 1,600.
Ooh, man.
That's insane. That's like, oh, you lost almost like fucking 3/4. My math is bad. I could be wrong. But I'm like, hold on. Isn't that like 3/4 of your employees that you've lost almost? It is, right? Like 400, four times four would be 16.
Yep.
Fuck. Yeah. Chris, what are your thoughts, man? I need to recuperate right now.
Well, I didn't even realize Sony had made such significant cuts to their headcount before any of this happened.
Yeah.
But now the prospects are bad because you cut in half those people. You already have low headcount. Marathon is not doing well. And they have no prospects. What comes after Marathon? What are they working on? As far as I know, nothing. It's just supporting Marathon. That's what Sony said. It's like, oh, continue to support Marathon. And then you cut headcount. You don't have enough people supporting Destiny 2. So that game is essentially dead. And you're just putting the rest of them on Marathon. And you have no prospects. You don't have enough people to start development on something new. Right, so I don't think Bungie's gonna last very long. They might cannibalize what's left of it, like for Marathon support, and just there goes Bungie.
Yeah, again, another case of being bought by a bigger company, and then you get closed down eventually.
I also don't think that they went in very healthy.
No, they didn't. Sony made a really bad mistake, man.
I think their eyes got wider than
Jim Ryan. Like wide. Jim yep. Ryan
again, like man. Again, like again. You guys are like, you know, that your boy was your god. Apparently, all this bullshit that you see right here, and you notice that homeboy hasn't said a damn thing.
Well, he's done. He's retired.
He's retired with giant quotes.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos. What's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Those numbers are pretty crazy. I mean, it's, I feel at the end of the day, none of these companies are suited to handle all these studios.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is maybe Tencent the best one at handling a lot of studios? I don't know.
Oh, man.
So Sony's acquired so many studios that they bought and they've, you know, taken down. They've, you know, either let them go or put them in other places or laid off most of the staff. Xbox, my God. I mean, we pretty much talked about all that. Embracer, they went from the Embracer to the Rejected. They embraced everyone and rejected everyone at the end. These studios are not built for it.
They're really not.
It's like they're overstepping their bounds. They massive acquisition that they did during the pandemic. That was also when Embracer started buying up a bunch of companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and one of the reasons why they bought a lot of companies, you know, these large corporations bought a lot of those companies is because they had really cheap loans.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jason Schreier talked about that too. Interest rates were really low back in those mm-hmm. times.
So, you know, people were just, because I mean, if you're paying, you know, 2-3% on a loan,
excuse me,
that's almost free money, you know, at least for someone that's investing in something. So that's how these companies thought. It's like, oh, you know, I get this cheap ass loan to buy a
Bungie.
Blue Point or Bungie.
Oh, it's like, rest in peace, Blue Point.
Yeah, it's crazy. So none of these studios are suited to, you know, to handle so many teams or handle, you know, so many studios within their publishing umbrella. Nintendo is doing it right. They have a set amount of teams, a finite amount of teams that they pretty much are well-oiled machines at what they do, and they don't really, you know, stray away from their formula. and you know they do what the people want.
The people.
They never adjusted their earnings. You know, during the pandemic, they didn't go on an acquisition spree during the pandemic. They just said, "All right, we're making more money, business as usual," and that's the way a lot of these places should have been thinking. But also, I think when it comes to the investors of a lot of these more Western companies, you can't tell them, "Okay, we're not going to be making." You know, it may look like we're making more, but we're really not. That's not going to continue.
Yeah.
The only thing I can remember Nintendo letting go were the Seattle Mariners. They weren't even a game studio.
We don't need a baseball team.
I want to read this comment from Reggie because it ties into what you guys were saying. To be fair, we got to look at when Sony bought Bungie. Microsoft was trying to buy up everything. Cats were pressuring Sony to make a move. They bought Bungie. But that goes to the short-sightedness that all these companies had during that time. It's like, oh, shit, we got all this money. Let's spend it. It's like when you're a fucking little kid, right? You go out with $10. You're like, oh, I got to spend it all. You know, you're not realizing, hey, you know, you can just save the money you don't spend, you know, acting like complete idiots. You know, I know some people have said that they bought Bungie as a reaction. I don't believe that, or at least I haven't seen any evidence of that, direct evidence. But regardless, they were still short-sighted, just like everybody else. You know, this is not a, you know, and I know some of you guys are going to say, oh, but Sony is a, you know, a Japanese, you know, yeah, Sony's a Japanese company, but PlayStation was being run by, you know, Jim Ryan, you know?
Jimbo.
So it all really comes down to him.
Western person.
Very Western, yeah. Like, I mean, that's why the PlayStation is now based in fucking Santa Monica or wherever the fuck it is.
Well, the thing about it, you want to talk about a PlayStation, you know, like a lot of you supporters out there with PlayStation, they fired Shuhei Yoshida.
Yeah.
They pushed this motherfucker out because he said no to the service shit.
Mm-hmm.
He said no, we shouldn't do that.
Yeah. By the way, just to be fair to those Sony fanboys, not even those guys don't like Jim Ryan. Just to be fair to those guys. Nobody's ever defended him.
At the time when we were talking about him, like Kane saying, like, no, this guy don't seem right. There's something wrong here.
We were saying that the entire time.
You know, and then they're like, oh, no, but PlayStation's making the numbers.
Yeah. No, you're right.
The whataboutism about it. It's like, I think the one thing about, you know, I know.
Say it.
You should, you know, and this is going what Paris said pretty recently. It's like, you shouldn't have loyalty to these fucking companies.
You shouldn't.
Yeah. They are not your family. They are there to get your money. And the thing is that they're going to do some crazy cockamamie shit, and you should fucking call them out for just being so stupid and short-sighted. The reason why you're not getting all the games that you want to see right now is because they decided that you need to play service games. Yeah. And that's fucked up.
Yeah. The successful service games are like winning the lottery. Yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah, you're right. And that's exactly what these companies are trying to do. That's why Sony bought Destiny. Yo, if only one of these fucking 12 games sticks, that's all that matters. That was their thinking. You know,
the thing about it is that you're not the initial idea of what a service game is you're not supposed to be spending $1 billion on a fucking service game. It's supposed to be a short development time, and you develop the game as you do it. In other words, you start out with a compelling sort of gameplay. What is the thing? What is your gameplay loop? Right. And that's where you start. And then because you didn't spend, if the thing doesn't fail, you didn't spend a lot of money on that initial investment, then it's like, okay, if it does dies, it dies. It doesn't matter. We got a little bit back of what we put into it, but you know, it's fine. But then you see essentially they're trying to put a AAA or quadruple A, a budget on top of a title that's only really supposed to be a toe dip.
Yeah.
Service games are the epitome of fucking toe dips.
Yeah, no, you're right. Shout out to Otaku Man. He goes, then why take the gamble? This is what bothers me about the life service stuff. Yeah, I agree. you know.
But that's the thing is that it's not supposed to be.
It's not gamble. Supposed to be. Yeah.
It's only just supposed to be like you just put, you know, $200 on black. That's yeah. what it's only supposed to be. It's only supposed to be a short, like a maybe a 3-year development time, you know, decent little bit of gameplay loop. And then what brings you over is like, okay, the attachment rate. Okay, now, more people seem to like this game. Well, you look at, what is it, Helldivers currently. That game did not have a crazy budget.
Yeah.
But what it had was a compelling gameplay loop. And then they started to expand. You realize that Destiny is a fluke in general because it shouldn't have done as well as it did. But the reason why it did, but they blew all that money on there and it ended up paying off. So they just thought, you spend $1 billion to make a $1 trillion.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to work that way. They're Fortnite was not a huge investment when it initially came out. It was just like, okay, we got this little mode. You know, we took this thing, you know, this other thing from this other one of those games. Same thing with PUBG. Not a huge investment. The fucking thing used.
Minecraft.
Not a huge investment.
Is Minecraft a live service game, though?
I mean, it's not really a live.
It kind of is and isn't.
It's weird because it's like, it's like Legos, right? You know, you can have the big bucket of Legos and then you can also buy the Millennium Falcon that costs $200.
You're right. By the way, I'm seeing Reggie having a fight there with the auto mod. Reggie, just calm the language down, bro. You don't have a problem with the auto mod. What are you saying there, man? Stop talking about Cambodian breast milk, you know? Manny, you're muted.
Reggie, it's okay. You know, it's what it is. Like,
no, he's not mad at us. He just, you know, he likes to be. Reggie has very colorful language. You know,
wait. Like, I met this dude in person. He don't curse that much.
He doesn't. That's the funny part.
Who is this other person? Who is this other Reggie that I've never met?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm finding hilarious. Like, why is Reggie of all people getting auto modded? Like, he doesn't curse. You know, not really. It's hilarious. What's the other thing? Now, Red, you threw me off now, son. Roblox and Minecraft are in their own categories, especially Roblox. I agree with that. Yes. Yeah. They really are in their own category. Like, they are live servicey, but they're also not like Destiny live service. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not the same sort of
thing. Yeah, I agree with that statement. So it's a different thing.
No, it's great.
Yeah. But to your point, yes. These games are not games that you should be putting so much fun. Look at Concord. I know we got to come back to that. $400 million. No, it was more than that. What the fuck am I talking? It was a lot more than that. I'm like, what the fuck are you spending that kind of money for? It should be low investment and then potentially high reward, right?
Yeah.
That's how it should be. But these companies, like you said, Destiny gave them the wrong idea. Oh, we need to spend $500 million in order for this shit to be successful. And let's just be honest here. Destiny was a good game, but one of the reasons it hit so well is because it came out at a time when the then next gen had just started and motherfuckers were hungry for games. There still wasn't shit out, you know?
And then again, you can't deny, and I'll say this about Bungie, their first-person shooting mechanics are still top-notch.
They are.
They're still fucking good. So they have good. They have a good control. Like, they have good control. So that's already the infectious part of it. Now there's the other part of it.
Yeah. So you have the controls. You have the community aspect. Again, it was fun talking. I was talking to Kari for weeks. You know, just like I'm getting on just to talk to the homie. You know,
and that's then your role in chat. That was your role in chat room, right?
Pretty much. You know, so Destiny hit at the right time. You know, but the thing is, that was just that time. And then when companies saw that happening, like, we got to develop our own live service games. The problem is, games take 5-6 years to make. So by the time the game comes out, like fucking Suicide Squad or some other bullshit, the fad is already gone. you know?
They shouldn't. Yeah. And then they, again, like what Warner Brothers, they poisoned the well by essentially doing, was it two service titles? Right? Wasn't also the Gotham Knights one the one also was sort of service multiplayer type of title?
Kind of, but the point is, like, those games are trying to latch on to a thing that had already passed, you know? Yeah. And by the way, I find it awesome that both Dio and Renzi are in the chat because they're literally the only two people I know that play Destiny. So it's perfect. You guys should get together, play Destiny.
Yeah, you should play some Destiny.
Yeah, come on, you guys know each other ever since the Bitback days, you know?
the final days of Destiny, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shout out to the Torrance meme. Yeah. I love it. All right, anything else you guys want to say about Bungie and Destiny before we wrap up to the next segment?
It sucks. You know, again, like, they had a lot of people there, though. That's a lot of
them. Mm-hmm.
Man.
It's insane they lost that many people, you know?
I was told that Mathan was doing well, so I don't understand.
I don't know who told you that, Brian.
The internet. They kept saying, oh, yes. Yeah, player count doesn't matter. You know, like, the game reviewed well, so it's fine.
Oh,
it's I know who told you that. It's the second coming.
Brian, was it the same people that told you that Highguard hadn't flopped?
I believe it was.
There you go. Well, you know, not that they shouldn't be trusted.
What was the budget on Highguard?
I could check. And while I do that, Brian, you give us your thoughts on the whole Bungie situation.
Yeah, this is, again, it is upsetting, but I think you nailed it right when you said that. Destiny was not meant to really be as popular as it was, and it just happened to strike right, again, the right place at the right time, and that basically threw it into the stratosphere and made that what that was. And yeah, I think it's proof that with Marathon, they can't emulate what they did with Destiny. So it might just prove that somehow Bungie got lucky twice, once with Halo and then with Destiny. So maybe they thought, okay, we can do no wrong. And now maybe they can do wrong. But yeah, again, given the performance of Marathon, the underperformance of Marathon, it was just a matter of time before something had to give. And yeah, again, this is a tale we see constantly. Game comes out, underperforms, studio lays off some of the staff members, and then months later, either studio disappears or studio is sold off and goes independent. So let's see what happens to Marathon and a lot of people at Bungie. Well, what's left of Bungie, I guess. Shit.
They got gutted. By the way, to answer the question, Highguard had a budget of $200 million. Why? And the game lasted 45 days, man.
$200 million, man. How long was that game in development?
4 years.
I mean,
how did they get that money?
That's what I want to know. Isn't that their first game?
Tencent.
Yep. Oh, yep. There you go. Tencent.
Oh, they were Tencent.
There you go.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That answers that. Okay, oh, so, man. Right. That shit is crazy.
I still give it to them. They managed to do it in 4 years.
Yeah, but they only lasted 45 days.
Only 45 days.
Fuck it. That whole day, hey, studio. They lasted longer than Concord. So there you go.
we still got that we still have the last nail in the coffin of the 12 the 12 horsemen of the apocalypse, from the PlayStation service era. What was that game? Paycheck or whatever field?
Oh, what's it's Rich's most anticipated game?
Dave Raymond's former studio,
Fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds. There you go. Fair games. Yeah. Fail games, more like, you know.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Jeff Keighley. Jeff probably got killed on Highguard. Oh, he not probably. Now they roasted his fucking ass.
They roasted him on that one.
You know,
Manny, can you say at this point every studio is probably Jade Radiant's former studio?
I don't know. It just seems like her reputation is totally like. If she had a reputation, it just seems like it does. Every single thing that she's had something to do with has sort of fallen apart, or she's sort of just,
Manny, you know, is she the female of Phil Harrison?
I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, whatever. Like, again, like, she made a studio as soon as she left off of Assassin's Creed. But then again, I think the thing people don't understand about her is she's not a game developer. She's management.
What's going on, Philly Fred? Management. Yeah, the shout out to Patrice Desailly, by the way, 1666 yeah. Amsterdam. Let's
hell,
go.
Yeah, hell we go. Let's do this. Yeah, I was wondering where homeboy was. That yeah. dude's name should have been the one that people should have been being like, yo, what's he doing?
Exactly.
Not the marketing person. That's kind of what she was doing.
Pretty much, you know. Remember when she was on Electric Playground as one of their correspondents? People don't remember that. You know, it was like it's kind of she was doing the anchoring for them. Then a few months later, she's suddenly on Assassin's Creed. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know,
Electric Playground also had what's her face from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Evangeline Lilly.
Really,
Evangeline Lilly was on Electric Playground as one of the interviewers.
Look that up because I think you might be confusing her with Jade Raymond.
No, Evangeline,
because you know Lilly they kind of look the same.
No, Evangeline Lilly was on Electric Playground.
That's crazy.
He just posted another episode with her in it.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, look, it's Evangeline Lilly.
Wow, okay, that I didn't know. That's pretty funny.
You got her confused with that.
Maybe, you know, these dark-haired women's is... No, but it did say Jade Raymond, I remember that. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, look, this Jade Raymond girl, she's on Assassin's Creed, promoting the game, you know? All right. Move on here. Completely shifting gears.
Is it good? Is it good news?
It depends. You know, depends. Okay. Pre-order. And this official, this is not a rumor. This is coming directly from Rockstar Games. Pre-orders for Grand Theft Auto 6 will officially begin on June 25th on digital storefronts and at other select retailers. And they released new cover art for the game as well. So I'm going to assume there's going to be a new trailer, along with this, but the main reason I wanted to bring this up is just a little bit of fun. And this is for you guys in the chat too. And by the way, shout out to the chat because, you guys are being very lively tonight and I like that. So that's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this question for everybody in the panel, in the chat, how much is this game going to cost? Because remember that, you know, the reports have been saying this shit's going to be $100. So, I'm going to go down the room here. Manny, how much do you think Grand Theft Auto is going to cost?
I'm going to say 70.
Ooh, regular price.
I'm going to say regular price.
Yeah. I'm going to say $80 because they're going to bundle. They're going to do something for the, something special-ish for the physical edition. And then something digital. But obviously, there's going to be a crazy, you know, collector's edition with like a fucking, you know, G-string and a Glock or something. You know? But yeah, I think the base game will be $80. Brian, how much do you think the base game will cost, minimum?
This is such a tough question. Again, I want 60, but I understand 70 makes sense. But then it's Rockstar, so they can easily go for 80. So I, 80? Yeah, no, 70.
Because
they're going to double dip. Yeah, they're going to double dip with the PC one in like next year or something. Yeah. And then obviously the next gen version. That will be 80.
Oh, shit. Brian, don't make me change my fucking answer, man. I think you're right. You know what? Damn it. I got to change my answer. I can't refute that. The next gen version, which will be in like 2 years, that absolutely will be $80. All right. So I'm going with 70 as well then. Regular price. But obviously they're going to have the big Mamma Jamma collector's edition. Dio, I think you said $150 for the base one, bro. Excuse me? What's Philly Fred saying? It's going to be $100 plus tax. Oh, man. $80. That's what Reggie says. $99.99. What about you, Carlos? How much do you think it's going to cost?
Well, they can definitely charge $80 and get away with it.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's going to be $70.
Ooh.
For the same. It looks like it's the consensus so far. But, Brian's point is the key point. They want to make it accessible to everyone because not only are they releasing it on November 18th or whenever in November,
yeah,
this November year, 19th, they're also yeah. going to, yep. They're also going to release it for PC eventually. And they're also going to release it for, the PS6 eventually. So they're going to get people double, triple, quadruple dipping. Is it on my name day? people are going to eat this game up. And honestly, they don't need to charge 80 or they don't need to charge 90.
No,
they are good with just getting you in the door. They're charging. They can make this a free to play game for all they care, and they'll still make their money back.
But
you know, they'll just charge regular price, trying to look like they're the good guys, while they'll be, you know, laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I guess I should ask: is there anybody left on the panel who doesn't think it'll be $70?
No.
Fair enough. All right, so I guess 70 is the consensus then. But Rich, since you're talking, how much do you think the collector's edition will cost?
That's a fantastic question. Well, first and foremost, Tony, there's going to be more than one edition. I'm sure there'll be a premium edition. That'll probably be $100. Collector's edition, that may be up to $150, I would think, or more. Because one thing I do know with Take-Two, which is also owned by 2K, they have multiple versions of the NBA game every single year, multiple versions of the WWE game every year. So, yeah, there's going to definitely be multiple editions of this game.
Yeah. And, Chris, what are your thoughts overall as a former Rockstar employee?
Oh, what? Just how the...
Yeah, the pricing, you know, all that stuff for this game.
I'm not surprised. If they could get away with charging $100 or more and then charging you for access to online, it would do it, man.
Oh shit.
No, take it. It's not like Rich said, it's Take-Two that's running that initiative. It's not Rockstar itself. Take-Two wants to see massive profits, and I mean, the bar is set so high with GTA 5 that and trying to appease investors, so they're all they're looking is for more ROI, more ROI. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Now this game has to outperform GTA 5. So, I mean, the first clue is like, you know, what, in a week you can pre-order? That's nuts. You know, like 4 months out. which to Rich's point, Ocarina of Time doesn't have a date and launches this year. Pre-orders for GTA 6 are open next week.
Oh, fuck. That's a good point. $250, Barry Burns says $250 collector's edition comes with Tommy Vercetti's Hawaiian shirt. There you go. Oh man, that's funny. All right, yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, by the way, I just was going to ask, like, you guys are aware when the 25th is, right?
Is that also
it's after 24th?
No, what day is it?
Thursday.
Oh, so
that means yeah, that means that we will have a lot to talk about on the next show, on the next Throwdown main show next week.
No, you're right about that.
It'll be we'll see the game stops on fire.
Oh man, speaking about setting things on fire and things that we're going to discuss next week. It's all but confirmed, not yet, but pretty much confirmed. You know what? I was going to say something I shouldn't say. Pretty much confirmed that the Steam Machine pre-orders are going to go live next week as early.
Good fucking deal.
And apparently as early as the 23rd.
Oh, man.
And how much do you think this shit's going to cost, bro? Fuck. Just to put it out there, the MSI Claw handheld that's coming out soon. It's a handheld. It's going to cost $2,000.
Oh, God damn.
So how much do you think this thing's going to cost?
That is a phenomenal question.
Bro. Yo, Carlos, remember how I once said 1,200? I think that might be too low, man.
Yeah, we were underselling it.
As a matter of fact, think about the evolution of our price guesses for this thing, right? We originally started at around $899. Then we bumped it up to $1,300. Now we're like, fuck, are we looking at $2,000?
I have a dumb question.
Uh-oh.
Do we know the specs?
Not fully. I think there's going to be like a 512 gig version with SSD. Like, I don't even know. Like, what's the CPU in this shit?
Is the RAM going to be DDR5? Is it going to be 2 gigabytes of DDR5? Because that costs like $500.
That is troubling that this thing is going to be, you know, pre-order next week. And we don't have the full specs.
No. Mm. I mean, they're probably, you know, they're probably rationing memory sticks right now, you know, trying to get as many as they can.
Man. Yo, so next week is going to be crazy with pre-orders. I think with the Steam machine, get ready for pain, you know?
What's your prediction? Pain.
Yeah, Mr. T, you know? Pain. Oh, man. What was his name in Rocky 3 again?
Clubba Lang.
Yeah. Pain. Oh, God. And it sucks because this was supposed to be, you know, the hope, right? Like, oh, man, we're going to get, you know, Steam console. It's going to be dope as fuck. And it looks really cool. Ooh, it's going to be expensive. Oh, yeah. Man. Get ready.
Otaku Man asks, do I buy a Steam machine or do I put a down payment on a house?
No, you're the guy to live with, Twin.
Well, Otaku Man, we're living in a renter's economy right now, so shit. Rent either of them.
Yeah, rent, exactly. By the way, I heard Xbox is going to have a layaway plan too, somewhere. Yeah, some shit like that. But yeah, Steam machine, get ready. That's going to be brutal, you know? Manny, you're muted.
I saw a report that Gabe Newell bought himself a fancy new house. I guess he decided he needed a place to park his super yacht.
Yeah. He's not passing those savings down to us. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
Well, the Steam machine is, what's the cheapest Steam machine again? I forgot. Like 700?
You mean Steam Deck?
Oh, Steam Deck. Yeah, my bad. Steam Deck, yeah.
Now it's 729, yes.
729, and there's like $999 for the for 1 terabyte. Or, mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's no way in hell the Steam machine is less than that.
No fucking way. No way in hell. It's going to be more expensive. Yeah. Like, probably vastly more expensive.
Too bad we don't have the no chance in hell line from the Vince McMahon song.
Oh, man.
No chance!
What's going on, Kuel? Yes, you are showing up late. We're almost about to wrap up. But yeah, does anybody have any last thoughts on the Steam machine?
Well, a lot of people, it's crazy how, you know, when it was first announced, a significant portion of this throwdown panel was enthused about it. But a lot has changed since those days. And it looks like a lot of us are priced out.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, stay tuned, man. Stay tuned. All right, let's start wrapping it up here. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Oh, yeah. So, I'm still swamped with Summer Game Fest stuff. There's quite a bit of things that happen also after Summer Game Fest. There's a couple other things that I've been checking out that I will be able to talk about soon. So I would definitely encourage you to stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming. And as for everything else, yes, myself, Gary, and Dana, we have been covering Starz Power TV show. Definitely check that out if you're interested, as well as the TV Terminal. Myself and Adam, we have been covering that TV show from. Very, very interesting show with a lot of stuff happening. So definitely check that out, and definitely check out the TV Terminal as well as their YouTube channel, the TV Terminal. But yes, stay tuned. More stuff coming to the Coalition
there soon. There you go. By the way, Philly Fred says 1500. So does Quell. Yeah, that's probably closer to what we're going to pay for that thing. I agree with that. And I believe that'll be do it for us. Unless, Manny, you have anything.
I do have things to promote. Da, da, da. So yes. Two things just dropped in days of each other. So first up, which is just announced today, is the new comic book I'm doing with Carter Randolph and Joanne Starr. It's a book called Dinner Date that is going to be coming out. It's coming out in October the 7th. So just in time for the Halloween. It's a vampire, story where the main character is essentially, using dating apps to essentially get to get people to suck their blood.
That's funny.
So, yeah, so that's coming out. So it's a horror comedy and all that. So that's going to be coming out in October. That's actually
pretty clever.
Yeah, and then the next thing that I just got announced was a cover that Kari and I did for Tales of the TMNT comic book. It's coming out in the, I can't remember. Okay, excuse me, 9/3. So it's coming out September. Tales of the TMNT is the new show that was based on that CG, on the CG movie that came out a while ago. Netflix had a series that was on. So it's based on that series. It's sort of a continuation of it, and they got us drawing turtles again. So officially, I think we've, between Kari and myself, we've pretty much drawn almost every single iteration of turtles.
Nice.
So, you know, us starting on the 2003, so we have drawn the current turtles as well. So yeah, so that's going to be on September and October. And also, Comic-Con is coming up very soon. There might be some more announcements coming up.
Yeah, Dio says, "Blay, I want to suck your blood." and Reggie says, "He needs you on the last Ronin game."
I mean, that's they got their people at Platinum. They can draw themselves some their own Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, you draw your own turtles. They got talented
people over there. Yeah.
Hey, shout out to Kari. He got a lot of shout outs today, you know, not only from, you know, the pimpings, but, you know, Destiny talks. So shout out to Kari. Yep. Good guy, yep. You know? but yeah, we're done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord, and you guys were especially lively this week with all the Xbox talk. A lot of fun stuff there. So I'm curious to see how the guys are going to react when those prices drop next week. You know, that'll be interesting. So yeah, shout out to Discord gang, and of course you can follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Mangioma.
I wonder what's going to cost more, a copy of GTA 6 or the Steam Machine?
Oh, shit. I guess we'll have to see about that. You know, shout out to Quell for the $5. You guys have an awesome night. You too, brother, and everybody else in the chat.
Have a good night.
Have a good weekend. Happy Juneteenth to those who celebrate. Hey, I got off. I'm not complaining. You know, but yes, we shall return on Sunday. Later.
Laters.